All right, I call this House Labor and Commerce Committee to order at 3:21 p.m. on Monday, April 18th. Members present are Representatives Kaufman on the phone. We have Representative Field and Representative Snyder and myself, Chair Sponholz, in the room. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business. Thanks so much to our Secretary, Leah Fraser, and our LAO moderator, Lydia Klein. And if you haven't already done so, it's a great time to silence your cell phones. Really, all we have today on the agenda is the adoption of two committee substitutes so we can get these documents out into the public record. The first one is a committee substitute for House Bill 404. The second one is a committee substitute for 405. And the only official action, again, just to clarify, is just to adopt the committee substitutes. Sounds like we might have a kiddo on the record, or maybe somebody who's just got, has a cough there. So mute yourself while you're not speaking. It's just to adopt these committee substitutes, and then we will adjourn for the day and take up action on the bills at a later date. First up is House Bill 404 relating to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation dividend carried by Labor and Commerce Committee staff. Chelsea Ward Waller, Representative Fields. Can I have a motion to adopt this? Yes.
I move the committee adopt this yes for House Bill 404 working document.
Is there any objection? All right. There's no objection to adopting the committee substitute. Ms. Ward Waller will describe the change to House Bill 404.
Thank you. For the record, this is Chelsea Ward Waller, staff to Co-Chair Sponholz.
A little closer to the microphone, Ms. Ward Waller.
Great. Is this better?
Better.
So House Bill 404 originally repealed the AHFC dividend, and this committee substitute, rather than repealing, just directs the dividend to be used towards affordable and workforce housing. This bill came about as a follow-up to our hearing on affordable housing on March 25th, I believe, in this committee, hearing from several community organizations across the state and agencies about the dire need for more housing, particularly affordable housing and workforce housing. And so we just wanted to find opportunities for more funding to support that area and that need in our state.
All right, great. And the committee substitute that has just been adopted was crafted after some discussions with Brian Butcher, the CEO of the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, who's also available with us today to answer any questions. And the bill's impetus, as Ms. Ward Waller said, was in response to that March 25th hearing we had on housing. There were many things that were suggested, but one of the things that was suggested was that we could increase investment in housing, and in reviewing the budget allocation for the HSC dividend over the last few years, we did find a couple of examples of when the dividend from HSC, rather than investing into HSC programs, which are very effective and efficient, were used for federal DOT match, for the judiciary, for Department of Health and Social Services, and other related items. And given the crisis in housing that we have right now in the state of Alaska, it made a lot of sense to do that. Is there any additional discussion on this bill or any questions before we move on to the next bill? All right. Seeing none, we're going to go ahead and adopt the committee substitute for House Bill 405. Co-Chair Fields?
I move that the committee adopt the CS for House Bill 405 as the working document.
Is there any objection? All right, seeing no objection, the committee substitute for House Bill 405 has been adopted, and we're going to go now to Mr. Evan Anderson, who will describe the changes made in this version of House Bill 405.
For the record, Evan Anderson, staff to Representative Zach Fields. I'll walk us through the summary of changes here for the committee substitute House Bill 405. This is regarding the changes from version A to version B. Largely, the changes outlined here are in response to feedback we got from the Alaska Trust and Estate Planning Group, as well as from outside partners such as the FACT Coalition that we heard from on Friday this last week. The major changes that we made here were to provide more clarity in statute for the various roles that a person can have in relation to a trust. We added definitions for each of the terms, and we added one more class, that's protector. We also added a fine for non-compliance, and a process for trusts that undergo any changes to their legal structure to stay current with their filing with DCCED. I'll now walk through the summary of changes. Numbers 1 and 2 amend the bill title to include relocation of foreign trusts. This means that any trusts that are new in the state of Alaska get treated as a new trust in the state of Alaska, and it makes international trusts eligible for recognition in the state of Alaska. My understanding is this is already the case, so this is just keeping it in line with current statute. Number 3, lines 1 and lines 4, clarify the court filing requirements for trust establishment to require disclosure of an address for both corporate and individual trustees. This wasn't a change from the intent of last time, but things had to move around to accommodate the new definitions and the new provisions we're asking for. Item number 4, lines 8 and lines 11 through 13, add in that relocation of trust. Essentially, this expands DCCED's statutory authority to treat trusts relocating to the state of Alaska as new trusts so that they fall under the requirements here laid out. Item number 5 requires disclosure of the trust address. Item number 6 adds a new line. Essentially, what this does is it defines the word applicant. The word applicant no longer appears in the bill, in the CS of the bill. Instead, there's a definition for the applicant each time. So it's the person filing the trust establishment document. Previously, it just said applicant, and we had heard feedback that wasn't clear who that was. Item 6 also requires additional disclosures. So this was put in to be really clear about what we're asking from the person filing, and that's asking for a legal name, address, any aliases they use, the state or country that they organized in, and a legal identifier such as a tax ID number. Item number 7, as I mentioned, provides definitions and requires disclosure of name and address for the following categories: trustee, protector, beneficiary, grantor, and settlor. Item number 8 requires disclosure of any other name of the trust being established. Item number 9 requires disclosure of changes to the legal structure of a trust within 30 days. This is probably the biggest change that was made here in the CS, and it was made with the feedback of groups like the FACT Coalition. Essentially, the bill that we had written initially only applied to brand new trusts. And so by including item number 9, anytime there's changes to a trust structure, they can be included in the regulatory framework, and DCCED will be notified of the ownership changes. It also establishes a $500 fine for non-compliance. Trusts are given a 30-day window to meet that requirement. On page 2 of the summary of changes, item number 10 allows DCCED to share information with another department. This was feedback that we had gotten from the department. DCCED doesn't have very much in terms of enforcement or verification abilities, and so this enables them to work with, let's say, the troopers or another department within the state. Item number 11 classifies all new and relocating trusts as reporting companies to align with the federal regulatory framework. Reporting company is a term used in the Corporate Transparency Act. Item number 12 provides a definition for the address. Item number 13 is a conforming change to Section A of the statute. And both item number 13 and item number 14 confirm the eligibility of foreign trusts to establish in the state of Alaska. Item number 14 is a conforming change to Section C of the statute. And finally, item number 15, this item was added again after conversations with the Alaska Trust and Estate Planning Group. It defines and exempts testamentary trusts, which are I'll take a second to define that here. A testamentary trust is established by wills I want to make sure I say this right. A testamentary trust is established by a will. Now, the trust isn't created until the person named in the will actually dies. And so with the previous version of the bill, there were concerns that people, it could be far into the future. It could be 40 years into the future that somebody dies from the will that they wrote. And so this change exempts testamentary trusts that were created prior to the effective date of this legislation from the new reporting framework. To be clear, all testamentary trusts established by wills filed after the effective date of this legislation will be subject to the new reporting requirements.
All right. Are there any questions for Evan Anderson? All right. Seeing and hearing none, we're going to go ahead and set these two bills aside. We're going to set an amendment deadline for these bills, both House 404 and 405, for Thursday, April 21st at 9 a.m. And that wraps up our business this afternoon. Thanks so much for joining us today. Our next meeting is Wednesday, April 20th at 3:15 here in Barnes Room 124. We'll have confirmation hearings for several of the governor's appointees, an introductory hearing for House Bill 392, and committee action, very full agenda, committee action on House Bill 176, 276, SB 131, SB 151, and SB 174. Thanks so much to our secretary today, Leah Fraser, and our LAO moderator, Lydia Klein. This meeting of the House Labor and Commerce, before I adjourn, I just want to reference that Representative Schrage joined us at 3:29 p.m. This meeting of the House Labor and Commerce Committee is adjourned at 3:33 p.m.